come this morning, the first psalm. It's a very familiar psalm, and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the revelation thou hast given us in your word. We thank you that you have been pleased to reveal yourself to us. Had you not done so, we would not know thee, yea, we could not know thee, but you sweetly gave the Lord Jesus to be our Savior, to be made like unto us. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, and that for a purpose, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to thee. So we ask you to speak to each heart. Deliver us from anything, our Father, that would in any way interfere with people hearing thy word, and help us, O God, to obey it. We pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first psalm stands as a doorway to the other 149 psalms. The first psalm is indispensable to all the blessings that follow and are outlined in the Psalms. This Psalm, Psalm number 1, if followed by one's heart, it guarantees the divine blessing in the life of the child of God. For whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's amazing that this Psalm begins with a negative. It begins with a pathway that we should avoid. No one ever has or ever will be blessed who follows the pathway that's described in verse 1. It says, "Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." It's expressed in the negative. "Who stands in the way of sinners, who sits in the seat of the scornful." This pathway that's outlined in verse number 1 becomes exceedingly dark, and it becomes more permanent as it is followed. We must notice the progression downward in the psalm. It portrays three deadly postures, and they increase in sin's entanglement. These postures are images of sin entangling a soul. Notice, when one walks, he takes evil counsel. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Then second, as one stands, is in a fixed position, more or less, and the position is fixed in the way of evil, standeth not in the way of sinners. And then finally, he who sits, he's descended not as scoffing, he sits in the seat of the scornful. And we ask a question as we look at that first verse. How does this work in modern life? You and I are living not in the days when David wrote this psalm. You and I are living in 1995. How does that work today? Well, to walk. As one walks, we get advice or philosophy of life. And we're not to get our philosophy of life from ungodly people. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The popular counsel of today is that God does not exist. And if God does exist, he's too weak to do anything. That is the counsel of the ungodly. And that is the position of most commentators that we meet today. The poor unbeliever rarely thinks through the worldly problems that are faced day by day, and especially the young person who's in a philosophy class in college. Stuart Briscoe encountered a student, and he asked the student, "Are you alive?" "Yeah," the student answered, and he looked rather startled that he'd ask a question like that. So he followed it up. He said, "Why are you alive?" "Well," he said, "because I was born and I haven't died. That's why I'm alive." "Well," he said to him a third question, "did you have anything to do with your birth?" "Well," he said, "no, except that I was there." So he followed him through with a fourth question. "Do you plan on having anything to do with your death?" He said, "No." Then Stuart Briscoe said, "Then as far as you're concerned, your birth was an accident, and your death will be an accident." He said, "I suppose you're right." He said, then Stuart Briscoe said, "Then I know what you are. You're an accident suspended between accidents." And then the young fellow said to him, he looked very thoughtful for a moment, and he said, "You know something? That helps me understand myself better than anything I've ever heard. You know, that's the modern mind, friends. That is the modern mind. The counsel of the wicked can only do that. It leads to mass intellectual confusion. People don't think things through. And all you have to do is consider what men are really saying when they're talking. Now, the counsel of the wicked, what's wrong with it? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It empties God of his holiness. It robs God of his transcendence. And it replaces God with one who is like themselves, a person who bends with the times. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, "I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I always have the first word. And I always have the last word. I never give man the privilege of having the first word, and I don't give him the privilege of having the last. I am the first and the last." Now man, he may become enamored with the sound of his own voice between the first and the last word. And it may go to his head. And he may utter things that he thinks are great. But God says they're not great to me. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he adds, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The word sinners here, in the Hebrew, simply means to miss a mark. And a person who can't see God's standards clearly certainly can't aim and hit the mark. The idea, you see, is a man with a bow and arrow. How are you going to hit the target if you can't see it? And a person who's ignorant of the standards of God, he can't see the standard, let alone hit it. And how can he teach someone else? Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. They miss the mark. And then, of course, the seed of the scornful, or the seed of the mockers. The poor man, having rejected God, these people now seek to fortify themselves by multiplying people who gather around them. You see, the more people who mock, the more people who say something, the safer it is. There's safety in numbers. Beloved, remember this. Never forget it. A lie told by a million people doesn't make it the truth. Just because a lot of people say something doesn't make it the truth. You see, truth has never been determined by the majority. In the days of Noah, the majority thought Noah was crazy. But Noah believed God. And he believed God against all kinds of opposition. It had never rained before. And he built a boat on dry ground. I always chuckle with Chuck Swindoll when he was pastor of a very large church there in California. He was teaching on Noah. So he thought so with clipboard in hand, as he was studying, he thought he's going to try to illustrate the ark. And he went out and he was starting to step off on the big vacant lot around the church. He started to step off how big the ark was. And with clipboard in hand, he was writing things down as he was stepping it off, and one of the neighbors saw him. And he started to scratch his head. And he walked up to Chuck Swindoll, and he said to him, "Hi." And Chuck Swindoll said, "Hi." And he said, "May I ask you what you're doing?" "Oh," he said, "I'm stepping off the ark. I'm teaching on the subject of Noah. I'm stepping off the ark." He said, "He's going to build one?" He said, "No, I'm not planning it this year." "I'm not planning it this year." The foolishness of men. They don't know the Word of God. You see, truth has never been determined by the majority, friends. And all you have to do is watch one of my favorite TV programs. In fact, it is my favorite, Jeopardy. When they have the Bible or the Old Testament or the New Testament on, they avoid that category like a plague, but they have to get to it sooner or later. They avoid it. Why? We know everything about Hollywood, about baseball and football, and presidents and world history and all these other subjects. But when it comes to the Bible, there's tremendous ignorance. You see, if we're going to be blessed by God, then some of our life must be lived in the negative. And no one today likes to think in the negative. But some of our life is going to have to be lived in the negative. If we're to be blessed, there are things that we just don't do. If we're going to be blessed, there are things we do not approve of. If we're going to be blessed, that blessing is rooted in a divinely prescribed negative. God says they're wrong. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk. That's negative. In the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. In our day today, happiness is unbridled freedom in the minds of multitudes of people. Spirit-filled Christians, beloved, are not negative, but they take negative positions. We're not afraid to take a negative position, for God has taken a negative position. And the scripture says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." We stand with God. There are things that we who are believers in Jesus Christ do not do. We have personal ethics. We have personal ethics as to what we're going to permit our eyes to look at. We have personal ethics as to where we're going to go. And we have personal ethics as to what we're going to support. Our Lord is very negative. Our Lord didn't say he was the best of many ways. He said he's the only way. Our Lord didn't say that he's the best. He said he's the only. Everything else was false. He said, "I am the true vine." You must be united to me, is what he says in John 15. Not a road we take. You see, the child of God doesn't live in the negative. He lives in the positive. You see, the second verse then says, while we reject verse 1 as a child of God, we accept verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the Torah of the Lord. It's the same word as law. In other words, it can be translated instruction. And it has reference to the Word of God. His delight is in the Word of God. And in that law, in the Torah, the law, the Word of God, he meditates day and night. That word meditate is very interesting. It means to, it carries the idea of an audible mutter. In other words, until recently, in biblical times, no one read silently. They read speaking the words out loud. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, we have a good example. Philip is told by the Spirit of God to go down to Gaza in the desert on the way that leads to Ethiopia. And there he met the Ethiopian eunuch and he was in the chariot reading when Philip joined himself to the chariot. In all probability, he was reading out loud. And that's what the thought of meditation is. Now, David delighted in the Word of God. And just think of it. David's delight was in a Bible that's only about one-fourth as thick as ours. He didn't have any of the blessings of the book of Romans, or the book of Hebrews, or Philippians, or some of these blessed New Testament books. He didn't have it. In fact, he didn't have the blessing of Isaiah. But he said, blessed is a man who meditates day and night in the law of the Lord. So we have the great antithesis in this first psalm here. They who take the counsel of the wicked, and they who delight in the counsel of God. Beloved, you cannot be profoundly influenced by what you do not know. Do you know the Word of God? Are you meditating day and night in it? You can't be influenced by something you don't know. And we're living in a day, believe it or not, of gross ignorance of the Word of God. The blessed man, he meditates day and night in the law of God. I thank God that in my past history, I had the privilege of associating with men who immersed themselves in Holy Scripture. I had their writings in my basement, in my study. These men immersed themselves in Holy Scripture. I had the privilege of listening to Dr. Barnhouse. I had the privilege of reading John Bunyan. I think of Spurgeon. These men immersed themselves. Their thinking was in Holy Scripture. Like the girl who had the name tag on at Chapel Hill Hospital a few years ago. Her name is Bartholomew. It was her last name. I said, did you know what I said to her? Oh, I love your name. She said, you do? I sure do. I know where it comes from. It comes from the Word of God. One of our Lord's disciples was named Bartholomew. Are you a disciple of the Lord? You see, it's so easy. Are you thinking in Scripture? To meditate day and night in the law of God. We don't take the counsel of the ungodly. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's all negative. There are things that we reject as the people of God. but there's a positive side to it. And the positive side is very real. We meditate day and night in the law of the Lord. When I think of Harry Ironside and men like this, who could hold an audience, and no one ever did, as a pastor of Moody Church after he retired. He had no formal education. God saved him at age 14. He immersed himself in the Word of God, and he taught in the seminary. He meditated day and night in the law of God. Now, there's a blessing involved. What about this man? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You talk about the blessing of the Lord. The Word of God says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow therewith. You see, the picture here is a picture of a fruitful tree in the midst of a desert, that the underground streams are flowing at the roots, and the tree is planted by the rivers of waters. Having been planted, it bears fruit for God. The secret of blessing is where it's planted. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And in Matthew 13, in the parable of the soils, he plants his trees in good soil. For he plants them where they're going to be nourished. And he plants them where they will bring forth fruit. It makes all the difference in the world where you're planted, my friend. Isaiah 61, verse 3 says, that they shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Think of it, to be planted by God, in order that we might bring forth fruit for him, trees of righteousness planted by God. What the scripture here says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And when we think of that word, the fact that he knows, it just doesn't mean that he's been informed about it. Oh no. It means he is interested in us. And he cares. And it suggests relationship. They shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. To the wicked, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Matthew 25 says, he'll say to the wicked in that day, I know you not. I know you not. Oh, beloved, the blessed man is not only negative, he's very positive, and he has the blessing of the Lord. First of all, because he's been planted by God. Second, he is nourished by God. He's by the rivers of waters. And third, he brings forth fruit for God. And his leaf doesn't wither. And whatever he does, prospers. He prospers. The question must be asked this morning, how can we be blessed? How can the blessing of the Lord be our portion? I'd like to suggest three things very quickly. First, by being willing to be negative about life. We must refuse the counsel of the wicked. We have to be negative about life. May I ask you a simple question? Who has the most influence on your life? The world or the scriptures? This is very important. How can I be blessed of God? Who am I listening to? Who has the most influence on my life? Am I immersing myself in Holy Scripture? Is Holy Scripture part of my thinking? The Lord says in the blessing of the new covenant, in Hebrews 8 and in Hebrews 10 that he's going to write his law in our minds and in our hearts. Am I willing to be negative about life? I must refuse the counsel of the wicked. There's a second thing I think that's important. We must delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. And that involves a choice. That involves a choice. I'm going to have to determine to delight myself in the law of the Lord. That's why I spend a lot of time in portions of the Word of God that are boring. You know, there are portions of the Word of God that people would say are boring. Some of the sweetest morsels I've pulled out of those passages where you read, and he begat, and he begat, and he begat. You see, if you don't read through the scriptures, you're going to miss Jabez, for instance. In the midst of the chronological names of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we read about that man, Jabez. Jabez, his name was called Jabez because his mother bare him his sorrow. And he prayed unto the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wilt bless me indeed, and that thou wilt enlarge my coast, that I might not sin against thee, and that it may not grieve thee. Oh, that those expressions are just full. And you know what the scripture says next? Next verse says, And the Lord granted him his request. Am I immersing myself in scripture? I don't mean that you don't have time to eat pot roast or something else. I mean that you are spending time with the Word of God and you're thinking about it as you read. And then, of course, there's a third reason. All the righteous man does prospers. If this is a way of prosperity, and that doesn't mean I'm going to get rich, and it doesn't mean you're going to get rich. It means that your soul is going to prosper and that you're going to find genuine happiness and genuine joy in your life day by day. Money doesn't make you happy. I met too many people with money who were anything but happy. But whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, the happiness of the soul that is at peace with God, the happiness of being able to say thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift and love the blessings that God has provided. But there's a road to doom in this text too. You see, the beautiful scene of the fruit tree is not now contrasted with some ugly shrub. No, he's not contrasting it with that. He's speaking of the wicked. He says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff. They're worthless. The wind drives the chaff away. When they harvested their wheat, they go to a threshing floor, a place where the wind was blowing continuously and where it would pass through. And that was their threshing floor, and they'd take the chaff. And the wheat, they were mixed together. They'd throw the wheat in the air. The wheat, because of its weight, would fall to the ground. The wind would carry the chaff away. And that's what the picture of the ungodly here. Chaff is light. Chaff is useless. Chaff is carried away by the wind. And you have a picture of doom. And therefore he says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's a difference between the righteous, the man who has been born of God, who possesses the righteousness of Christ, having been imputed to him when he believed. There's a difference between him and the person who has never been born of God. When God said, make a dwelling place that I may dwell among you, there was a court to the tabernacle. It was a fence of linen about 7.5 feet high. There was only one way in. It was through the door. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. There's no other way in. He says, I am the door. In other words, divine righteousness That's what the linen speaks of. It secured those who were in, but it also kept out those who were on the outside. Are you out or are you in? The same righteousness that keeps us in keeps a sinner out. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, they will not stand in the judgment, nor will sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. Well, that brings us to a very quick application this morning. This is a psalm of two roads. Which road are you on? You're either on the road of doom, following the advice of the ungodly, or you're like a tree that has been planted by God, having been born of God, planted by God, nourished by God. You are the planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness. Where are you? Where are you? Do you have the fortitude to say, if you're on the wrong road, Lord, save me? Lord, I'm coming through the door. There's no other way in. Thy righteousness keeps me out. But the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, and I'm coming through the door. I'm coming today. And you know, you can come to Christ right where you are. Without ever coming forward, without ever doing a thing. Salvation is not by works. And right where you are, and just as you are, you can say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm claiming the righteousness proffered in the gospel. Where are you? Let's pray. And now, our Father, we come to thee in and through the person of thy dear Son, and we thank you again that thy people, who are called by thy name, who know thee, they have been planted by thee, they are refreshed by thee, and their leaf does not wither. They bear fruit for thee. We ask you now that you will take this word and bless it to every heart. And we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.